In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. Today's meditation is entitled, Sharing Your Story for God's Glory. And it is inspired from today's Pauline reading epistle, from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians, chapter 1, when he recounts the story of his conversion and his former conduct and how he became a devoted Christian dedicated for the mission and work of the Lord. He said the following words to the Galatians, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles." And he continues by saying, "But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in him, sharing his story for God's glory." This beautiful story of conversion contains three dimensions or three aspects. The first part is his former conduct, how he was before. The second part is a transformational event that occurred in his life that changed his direction completely from a persecutor of the church to someone who is being persecuted for the church and for God. And thirdly, how he lived his life after this visitation or after this transformation that happened to him, that ended in everyone looking at him and glorifying God in him. It is a change in direction. Being an ordained minister or priest, I have the privilege of speaking with many people on personal levels. And I get to hear so many beautiful stories and encounters, how God is working in people's lives. In many of these cases, these stories are hidden in the dark and never revealed for anyone to share or to hear. Let me try to clarify what I mean by sharing my story or sharing your story for God's glory. Many stories are worth telling but remain hiding in darkness. By sharing your story, I mean a personal experience that you felt God's undoubted presence in your life, a situation that changed the course or direction of your life, the way that you view God, a point of conversion or an experience of the divine presence. If you may notice, in the past few weeks, we have been focusing on how to develop a more intimate and personal relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And sharing or knowing or recognizing my story and being able to share it with others indeed does affect my walk with Christ. Let me tell you the truth, that Christianity is in danger today of being or becoming a very theoretical religion. But this wasn't the case in the time of Christ. This was not the message that Christ left to his disciples and his apostles. He told them that the word is living, is like a sword that pierces through the bones and into the heart. The word of God is living, it's not dead. And by transforming or changing our religion and our faith to a set of rules, do's and don'ts, come in, go out, we have become very mechanical or robotic. And this is not what God wants with us. Our God is a God of relationships, a God of encounters, a God of conversions, a God of a meaningful and a personal experience. By knowing and sharing my story is to call the Heavenly Father not only our Father, but calling Him Abba, just like the Lord Jesus said, Papa, Dad, my Father. I have known you, not only I have heard about you, but I am becoming more intimate and more personal. I know my story. I have experienced you. I have seen you at work in my life. People are no longer in need to tell me do's and don'ts, because we have now the law of liberty that St. Paul speaks about, which is much greater than the letter, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. By story, we mean the experience, the undoubted presence of God in my life, the transformation that He has done for me. Possibly a former life that I have led, but once my eyes have been opened, my direction in life changed completely into a life that glorifies the name of God. Let us look at a few situations where God actually asked the people to speak about Him. The Holy Scriptures I didn't mean to do a disappearing act, I'm sorry. I just wanted to get my Bible. The Holy Scriptures speak so many times about these personal experiences that change people's lives. And once people's lives have been changed, they couldn't keep quiet. They couldn't be silent. Just like St. Paul was converted, and every single opportunity he had, he was speaking about his conversion. In Galatians 1, he spoke about this beautiful story. The initial encounter that St. Luke spoke about was in Acts chapter 9, and he gave the story of his conversion. But he didn't stop there. In Acts chapter 22, he recalled his conversion one more time, and he was witnessing. And this became the story of his life. The one story that everyone needed to hear and interact with, for the purpose of giving glory to God. And also again, after Acts 22, he repeats the exact same story in Acts 26. Four times, the same story is mentioned. And I looked at the readings today, and I read this witness by St. Paul, and I said, he has an amazing story. Imagine if St. Paul had never shared with us this amazing story of conversion. What would we have lost today? Sharing your story for God's glory. Let us have a theological foundation about sharing one's story for God's glory. We begin by looking at Mark 5 in the story of the man who was demon-possessed, who was in the city of the Gadarenes, meaning it was a Gentile city. There were swine, and he had legion, a multitude of devils that he was possessed with, and Christ allowed them all to go into the swine, and they all withered away. This man wanted to follow Christ wherever he went, but this is what the Lord said to him in verse 18. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. This man who was formerly demon possessed changed his life by Christ. Christ asked him, "Go and tell your friends." What is your story? What is the story that we can witness to our friends and colleagues and people we know, that will be the basis for any undoubted conversation to God? I tell you the truth, many people now are very scientific, and they have certain ideologies about proving or disproving the existence of God. Many of us are prepared, but most, I would say, are not prepared to enter into any big scientific proof of God's existence or non-existence, and the conversation could go in either ways. But once we have a personal story, and we share this story for God's glory, no one can argue with us, because this is my faith, this is my belief, this is my personal encounter with my Savior, that no one ever could make me doubt how I felt and how Jesus the Lord converted and changed me. The formal conduct that I have, the conversion, and then the follow-up that happened afterwards of how the Lord led me to a new life in Christ Jesus, no one can make me doubt that. And this is the greatest witness in today's world. Also in John 9:25, the story of healing the blind man. He had a story to share after his eyes were opened. And when the Pharisees came to him to ask him about Christ, he said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." I have no clue. I'm not a big theologian who can tell you so many proofs from the Pentateuch and from the Old Testament and the New Testament and the stories of the fathers. Maybe I'm not that very much well-versed. This is what this man was saying. I'm just a person, a simple person. And an amazing thing happened in my life, that I was blind. I know that I was blind, but now I see. How you want to take that and, you know, play around with it? You make whatever you want, but I know something, that I was formerly blind, but now I see. And this is the concept of sharing my story for God's glory. And who did this to you? It is Jesus. That's all I can say. Point them to Jesus. He's the one who converts and changes the hearts. The same thing happened with the Samaritan woman in John 4, when she met her Messiah. And the scripture says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him, because of the words of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did." That's all that she said. She had an encounter with the Lord, and afterwards she was changed and transformed, and she had a story to tell to other people. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." She just put them on the beginning of the walk with Christ. And afterwards they said to her, "We don't no longer believe just because the words you said, not because of your story, which was beautiful. This was a starting point for us to believe in him. But because we have heard him, and now we have experienced him." Not only do we have evidence from the Holy Scriptures that you and I need to have a story to share about how God worked in our lives, but also from the lives of the saints we see numerous examples how God worked in them, and they had a story to tell. One of the greatest books in history, really, is St. Augustine's Confessions. And he in it writes in details concerning his conversion, concerning his encounter with God, and he told his story to millions of people throughout the ages, how God worked in his life. He said the following, "Such was my heart, O God, such was my heart. You had pity on it when it was at the bottom of the abyss. Now let my heart tell you what it was seeking there, in that I became evil for no reason. I had no motive for my wickedness except wickedness itself. It was foul and I loved it. I loved the self-destruction. I loved my fall. Not the object for which I had fallen, but my fall itself. My depraved soul leaped down from your firmament to ruin. I was seeking not to gain anything by shameful means, but shame for its own sake." He has a story to tell. He said, "I lived the life of sin and I despise it now. Now that the Lord has opened my eyes and I see him, I want to tell everyone that it is a big waste of time and your life to be wasted in sin away from the Lord. But once you taste the Lord, you live a completely different life in him." To the point that he said his famous quote, To praise you is the desire of man, a little piece of your creation. You stir man to take pleasure in praising you, because you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Saint Augustine, in his Confessions, had a story to tell, and it was worth telling. And if he hadn't told it, then the world would have lost so much. What are the contents of the story? What is this story that I need to share with the world? This story is not about me as a person, but about God's work in my life. We don't want to be, egocentric, to feel, oh, now we are better than everyone else, or that we are saints. As a matter of fact, St. Paul recalls his conversion, but he still maintains the status of being the first of sinners, the sinners of whom I am chief. So that never changed his heart of humility. But he shared his story as a witness of God's work in his life. It's not for my own glory, but keep always in mind that it is for God's glory. Having a story and sharing it is to fulfill the verse in 1 Peter 3:15, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear. To give a defense doesn't always mean a theological defense. If I have that defense, it is great, all the Bible verses. But the best defense that I can have is a personal encounter, is a personal story. Not based on other people's stories, but based on my own story. It is so important to see God personally. A beautiful story that was told by Saint Macarius the Great, and also recorded on the mouth of Father Bishoy Kamel. In the desert there are wild dogs who run, and there are some gazelles as well. So Saint Macarius was saying, one day the lead dog, he spotted a gazelle, and he was so hungry. So as soon as he saw the gazelle, he started barking. Right? So all the other wild dogs, he said, something suspicious. If this dog is barking, who let the dogs out? Everyone is just running, right? Then there must be something good. So the dog started to run after the gazelle, and all the wild dogs started to run after him. But the gazelle was so fast, and all the dogs are running. So the dogs all the way in the back said, why are we running? We don't see anything. We just see all everyone else running, and we're just running behind them. They got discouraged. And one after one started to step back and stop. Everyone is asking, why are we running? Well, I don't know why I'm running. Everyone else is running, so I'm just decided to run after them. So one after one, they were discouraged until all of them stopped running except the dog who saw the goal, the gazelle. And he was the one who was able to catch it and feast in it. And it's the same thing. This is what we intend to say today. We're not just here because everyone is here. We're not just running the race because everyone is running the race. No, I'm running the race because I want a personal and intimate relationship with Christ. I want to experience Him in my life. Because I tell you the truth, unless each and every one of us sees the goal and the vision and taste the beauty of the Lord, one by one we'll start to drop out of the race. And we find that we have no spiritual life or intimacy with Christ anymore. And when someone asks me of the reason of my hope that I have in Christ, then I can share my story for God's glory. Sharing my story for God's glory has to be done in the appropriate time. In Matthew 7:6, the Lord said, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. If I have a personal, intimate story to say, it has to be said in the right time and to the right people, so that it would have the most effect. Do not just throw it out there without realizing who we are speaking to or who we are witnessing to. But at times we may need to speak according to the need. If you feel that there is a thirst, yes, we need to say the story. We should not rush in formulating our story, but we should take our time. this story to be formulated may take years and lots of experience with God to find peace and confidence. It is not a matter of I committed a sin, you know, this week or last night, and today God changed my heart, and tomorrow I will go back to commit the same sin again. No, it doesn't work this way. This comes after a time of healing and of truly finding Christ and finding peace in Him. Rushing may lead us into self-glory and the envy of the evil one, that we may return once more to the old conduct. And also, it could be done for the wrong reasons, to receive praise by humans, which is not the purpose of sharing my story. It should be done for God's glory. Not everything could be shared, but at times I may choose to keep certain details of my story secret as a seal to my relationship with God and as an intimacy with Him. And everything should be done in wisdom and discernment and under the guidance of my confession father or my spiritual father and guide, that I may not be hit with vain glory. Finding and sharing my story is the greatest witness today against any doubts and is proof of my personal relationship with my Savior. Maybe I want to conclude by sharing my own story, so that, or at least a part of it. My own story is going to take a long, long time, but a part of it, of maybe some of the landmarks in my life that really changed my direction. And hopefully, bit by bit, each one of us could develop their own story and in the appropriate time share it also with others to strengthen our faith. At the age of 16, I was very athletic, loved sports, and we went to a soccer tournament with the school. I was the goalie at the time, and we won that tournament. But after coming back, felt a little bit of numbness in my leg, brushed it off, woke up the next morning, it was a Sunday, went to church, but I had more numbness in my legs. By the end of the liturgy, I couldn't stand up on both of my feet. And by night, the numbness had reached my waist, and I was immediately rushed to the hospital, Scarborough General Hospital, who didn't know what to do with me, so they sent me to Sick Kids. Sick Kids accepts, I believe, children up to the age of 16, but I was the biggest kid at the age of 16, because I was almost the same height as I am now, so they had to bring for me a special bed and and put me in a special room. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and the physicians tried to figure out what was wrong with me, and no one really knew. I went to rooms with more than 30 different physicians, and I would try to walk in front of them and have people balance me from both sides, and I failed. They tried to know, no one knows until this day what happened. Going into all the MRIs and all of these things, after a few days, the lead physician told my parents, if you believe in God, just pray that this paralysis would not reach his neck or his arms, to be completely paralyzed for life. He may be paralyzed like this for the rest of his life, just waist down. And of course, lots of prayers were going up on my behalf. And this was a truly turning time in my life, because I believe that formally, yes, we may go to church, but our experience wasn't a profound experience. It was a very shallow experience. We'd rather be escaping and playing and pinching and punching, and just like many of the contemporary youth, I was not much different than them in the church or outside of the church. After 2 weeks of being paralyzed on a bed, I think I had one night that I would not forget for the rest of my life. Many people brought me spiritual books, especially the books of Pope Kyrillos. And I looked to God and I prayed earnestly. I said, God, I don't know much to say up until this day, but I said, I haven't been the best of people, but I don't want to live like this for the rest of my life. It's been 2 weeks, and it's difficult for someone who's really athletic. And I really want to change my life. I want to take you more seriously. I want to be closer to you. And I had a very deep prayer with tears. And I guess many people were praying for me also at the same time. And in all honesty, I did not see a vision, or I did not see, you know, something that is profound. But I think the change that happened in my heart and in my life in this particular night was much more than maybe seeing a vision. The next morning, I started to improve, and the numbness started to go away by itself. This was the 15th day. The 16th day, I stood up on my feet and I was walking around the hospital. And on the 17th day, praise God, I was walking out of the hospital and I left. Now, the Lord has done something which is very, very tricky but nice with me. Is that in His healing, He left the exact same feeling of numbness in my little toes, in my both legs, up until this day. And I feel that this is a way that He left for me to remember that day and remember the promises that He has made and the change that happened. I cannot say that, you know, I'm better now, or, but I feel that something happened on that night that gave me more focus about seeing Him. I still struggle with so many things, and I still am a sinner and in need of God's grace, and I will for the rest of my life. But indeed, that night was a life-changing night, and God still left me a little reminder that He is the one who gives and takes away. He is the one who is in control. He is the Pantocrator, but He is a caring and a loving God, and He gets our attention in one way or the other according to His will. At any rate, God still continues to work in my life, and I pray that He is also working in your life. I hear so many amazing stories and witnesses of so many people on how they encounter God. Please don't forget how God has been working with you. This is our story to tell. This is our treasure. This is what God has done with me personally. And if I haven't had any encounter, that's okay too. He will speak to me at different times or at the right time. Just have a heart that is open and clear to accept His word. And just admit His grace and His love towards us at all times and forever. May the Lord continue to work in us and through us as a congregation and as individuals as we receive His holy body and precious blood today. We tell Him, Lord Jesus, I thank You. I thank You for Your work in my life, in my family, with my career, with my health. And any challenge that will come my way, I will praise You in it and glorify You, and I will see You also through it. For You are a loving and a caring God. And hopefully in the right time, in the perfect time, in the fullness of time, each one of us would have this personal story to share, and it will all be for God's glory, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.